Thank you, John. I'm going to introduce Matt. First, I wanted to bring up a scripture. It says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh, too much volume here, a little bit too much, thanks. Will from his flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to his spirit will from the spirit reap eternal life. Next verse. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we don't grow weary. One of the laws of the kingdom of God is sowing and reaping. I would say that everybody here understands the concept because everybody here is sowing. I see Will out there today. Will is in the realty business, so he's sowing. You understand that, Jim. You're putting out flyers. You're sowing your bread on the waters, looking for some kind of return, and you don't know exactly how it will go. And we had a conference in San Antonio 3 or 4 weeks ago talking about sowing, and Matt brought a message, and so we asked him to do that again tonight. It won't be the same this morning, not the same message, but similar. But if you're a sower, I just wanted to make a couple things. You're not necessarily a soil inspector. Now, Gary Urban is a soil inspector. That's what he does. He's a geotechnical engineer. But spiritually speaking, so often we plant a seed and then we take it and we pull it up out of the pot to see how the roots are doing and we've just killed it. We've got to trust in the seed. And it's really important. Harvesters don't control the outcome. They just harvest. And sometimes you and I come along in someone's life and there's low-hanging fruit. It's just right there. And you're the one that actually brought them to the Lord. But I promise you that every person here can identify with the fact that God was in work in your life for many, many years before someone came along and started talking to you. So don't ever doubt. I promise you, when you're talking to someone about the Lord or you... He comes up and somehow you're into waters, just know that he's already watered that person. You're not a complete stranger. They have a life that they've already lived. You think that you're just coming from ground zero. There's something already going on, but we're to be sowers. So Matt has this message, and I'm going to let him come now. It's called Seeds. Is that fair? And he kind of tied it in because he is an arborist, and works in landscape design and architecture and coordination and all these different things. So the importance of understanding seeds. And then I think when he gets into it, the difference in seeds. So we just bring him up and let you go for it.
There's going to have to be way more feedback for me for this to work, so you guys are going to have to smile at me or nod at me or do something. Whatever you're not doing, start doing it. It'll be better for both of us, I promise. Okay, I have a PowerPoint. Is it up? I can see it back there. All right, seeds. That's the name of this sermon. Next slide. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read this parable, and when I was getting ready, I was thinking, you know, every good thing comes from the Lord, and the world has a way of hijacking all the good things, you know, so karma is the way that the world is hijacked, sowing and reaping. And you may say it, because it's almost a colloquialism, it's almost slang. Oh, that's bad karma, but that's really the world hijacking what the Lord has taught us, what Jesus taught us. So I'm going to read this parable, and then we'll get into it. And I think this morning what I'm hoping is that it just encourages everybody. Like my dad said, you know, I'm in the landscape world, so I deal with seeds and plants and things like that a lot. And I got some business cards out front. No, I'm just kidding. okay, so Matthew 13. 1-9, but if you're interested, no, I'm totally joking. I couldn't help myself. All right, the parable of the sower. That same day, this is Matthew 13:1-9, if you want to turn there, or or app there or link there or something. Matthew 13, 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowd gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat in it. While the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering his seed, some fell along a path. The birds came and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. I think when we read this, if you've read it, you probably have, or you've heard it, we think about the soil a lot of time, and you start really getting introspective about what kind of soil you are. Oh, I'd love to be a third soil kind of person, that it's good soil. I am good soil. Like, God, just dump a bunch of seed on me. I mean, this is whatever you give me, it's 30, 60, 100 fold, because I'm so prepared for what you're going to do. But this morning, and that's just, I think, a word of the wise, too, of not too doing too much self-examination. As we talk this morning, we're really going to be talking about him and how he sows us. But what I want to be talking about is not as much the soil in this parable, but the seeds. And so I have a few points this morning. I think I have five. And the first one is that we are seed, and God is a generous sower. If you've ever, living in Southern California, you know, we are in this unusual bubble of sprinklers. What they call the flyover states, the middle of the country, a lot of those states don't even have sprinkler systems. So here it's 24/7, and if you've ever done this, you've put seed to reseed your lawn. Right now, a lot of your grasses are going dormant. That's why they look like they're dying. And so you put like a winter type blend, so it gets really green, almost looks fluorescent. But if you've ever done that, when you throw the seed out, you know, you're not, if this is my yard, I'm not doing this and then doing this and then coming, you know, and doing it perfect. You have a big bag of seed, like you see in that picture, and you just throw it. In fact, you'll walk this way because this is representing a tree and you didn't get it over here, so you then throw it back this way. You may do it 3 or 4 times. And it doesn't really, you buy bags of seed that are so much more than you need. They sell big bags of seed. You never can get kind of, it's like hot dog buns. It's never the right amount, but... So you just throw it out there, right? You throw out the seed. You throw it out generously. God is a generous sower of seed. He scatters the seed. The way that he scatters it speaks of his generosity and his ability to understand where the seed is needed, how to allow it to germinate. So we're going to be talking about how it's germinating, what kinds of seeds there are. But when you're in that first point, God is a generous, generous sower. He's a generous sower. Everything he sows, it's all in the seed. To define a seed is an embryonic plant in a state of arrested development, supplied with food materials and protected by one or more seed coats. It's able to remain alive, although dormant, through conditions which may be unfavorable for immediate growth. But when suitable conditions occur, a seed will begin to germinate. In order to produce the next group of followers of Jesus, there has to be seed going out. You have to, right? And Jesus, God, has sown out this seed. We have a bunch of seed sitting in this room. But everything that's needed for the kingdom of God is located, genetically engineered into that seed, right? So as he's sown you into, like my dad was mentioning, real estate or engineering or whatever it is, teaching, you have been sown into that place, and the seed that you carry is perfect for that place. Okay, so there's all these different types of plants, and you all know that. You can just walk around and tell that. But the type of seed that you are is specific for the location where you're at. A seed has everything it needs. Now it needs the right condition. Seeds travel. You ever drive through like a pretty place and go, man, I wonder who planted that hillside? I wonder who went up there and really, you know, put all the little plants in. I wonder who waters all that stuff. Well, nobody does. But you don't see bare hills all that often. I mean, at high altitude, but still you see some living things up there. But seeds travel. Seeds, some fell along the path, the birds ate it up. Rocky places, there's just a little soil. There's just not much soil there. Some fell among the thorns. I think this is kind of the ones where it can be challenging for today because we're good soil, but the worries of today can choke out what God's doing. And then some fell on good soil. But think about, I just want you to pause a minute and just think about all the beautiful places you've ever been that really are untouched by man. And they're really the most beautiful places you've ever seen. Right? And there's not a landscape crew coming through and maintaining that. Bizarre. But that's how the seeds get there. They travel. So we're going to watch a short little video, and then we'll come back to this.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon and then painting from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners, somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk, somebody who'd bale a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing, who would laugh and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
That represents the heart of God so much. And that little, and I want to buy a Ram truck after watching that too. come on, Ram truck. God made a farmer, right? That's what he did. It's what he made. And all of us, farming is not an easy job, Bill, and I don't know who else ever grew up on a farm, but I'm more of a tourist when it comes to farms, but I can appreciate it. But that is so, you know, I think it's so close to what God's heart is, because there's so much from beginning to end, and there's so much. I actually think farming has almost, this is off, not on the notes, but I think farming is, you talk about a faith job. Man, I hope it rains. Like, that's amazing. Think about how much in your job you can control, or at least we think we can control, but we can control in a way, sort of. But man, I hope it rains. Like, that to me is like, wow, that's really, really having to be connected something deep into what the Lord's asking. I think that's really what he's after, that sort of faith. You know, you prepare a field. He's putting you someplace specifically. And then you wait to see what he'll do. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we may live in peaceful and quiet times, live in quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. It's for all people. That's why seeds travel. This kingdom can feel very small when you're in the middle of it, trying to make things happen, trying to provide or trying to do different things. But this kingdom seed is for every nation and every people group on every continent, everywhere. How do they get there? They travel, they attach. Who's ever walked through any sort of wooded area and got these annoying things all over their jacket? But that's how these particular seeds move. Some of you are these people. I hate to tell you. You just stick. And people just want to shake you, but they don't really want to shake you, but they try. But you've gotten your little hooks, your little Velcro on them. You attach yourself because that's what God's called you to do. But seeds attach. There's a bunch of different types of seeds. Begonia seeds are dust-like. Coconut seeds are, this big. They're built for travel. They fly. They float. I said seeds are determined. Look at that seed. That's going to get to that island and plant a palm tree, regardless, right? That seed's determined. He's halfway there. Seeds involuntary. I wrote that. This is a bird. What do you think that bird, after he eats the seed's going to do with it? It has to come out the other end at some point. That particular seed, involuntary, the definition of involuntary is instinctive. So that seed instinctively is making the best of that situation. Some of us, in fact, most of us are not from here. You've been swallowed up or taken by the wind or in the ocean or however you got here and landed in South Orange County. But these types of seeds, they make the best of it. The DNA that's in this seed is instinctive. It's just involuntarily moved to other areas. Seeds can be eaten. Another way that, next time you eat, you'll never look at a bagel the same. They come in all shapes, all colors. That's to reach all shapes and all colors. Not all seed is the same. Thank God. We'd be very boring. And I think we all think we're of that type of seed that God's really got his eyes on. Like, he's really narrowed down. This is his favorite seed. But we're not. We're not. They come in all shapes, colors, sizes. It's amazing how diverse we really are. Seeds are mobile. How they travel, I said, by wind, by animals, by water, by bursting, and by humans. Just a couple examples of those types of plants. Bursting, I mean, that's not a real exciting idea of being a seed that's been strategically placed somewhere, and then God decides to have that particular seed start to grow and burst out into something. If you're starting to get the theme of this, that God's in control, right? He's sown us all, and then you are responsible for sowing his seed as well. He didn't ask you to watch it grow or to necessarily keep an eye on it. He may, but he didn't. That's not necessarily what he's asking you to do. He's asking you to sow. Seeds are gathered. That's what we're doing here today. This is not the game. This is the huddle. A lot of times church becomes the game, and then we become one type of seed. But this is a huddle. This is a storehouse of grain right now. And the idea is that we're hopefully getting a little bit of water so then we can go back out. Second church becomes the game. We've really lost what God has intended us to do. Seeds are gathered. Seeds are sown. I thought this picture was great. He's got some work ahead of him. He's still loving that one tree in the back. Like, that tree made it. I'm not proud of that one tree. I'm going to go sit under the shade of that one tree. That just, to me, says work. do not be fooled that anything, anything really worth doing is hard work. Anything in terms of being sown or sowing requires energy and effort, pain, tears. You know, there's laughter in there too, but it's hard. It's hard work. Seeds multiply. The reason I have a, I'll tell you why I have that picture of a fire there in a second, but germination, that's really what it's called when seeds multiply. The embryo contained within the seed is the next generation of the plant. Thus, successful seed germination is vital for the species to perpetuate itself. Germination is the beginning of growth of a seed. The seed must have the right level of warmth and moisture to begin to germinate. First, the seed leaves absorb moisture, which allows the food reserves to become more available to the new plant. It then produces a root so that it can find its own water, followed by a shoot, which will allow it to absorb light. The plant needs both water and light to grow. My third point, all kingdom seed has kingdom DNA. All kingdom seed has kingdom DNA. Where we have been sown is exactly where we have been scattered. Unfortunately for us, certain types of seed require certain types of germination. And this is just who God is. Right, and we are that seed, all those different types of seed. Some of us, you just throw it out there and it germinates. Other, like this one, needs to be preconditioned or scarified is what it's called. It has to be burnt. It has to literally go through a fire to germinate or it won't. And it's a reason why, you know, a lot of times you'll, after a big fire, you know, nobody goes out and plants that again. Sometimes they put some seed down, but there's a number of different, like shrub oaks and different things that actually germinate in the fire. And it's impossible for them to reproduce without going through the fire. You wonder if those seeds resent the fire after they've germinated. They probably don't like it, seeing it on the horizon. You know, oh man, that's getting pretty close. Maybe things start cracking, you know, as it's happening and they're fighting it, but they know it's the right thing to do, and then it just explodes, right? And cast out 10, 12 new plants or whatever the case is. Types of seed require different types of preconditioning. This is a tree, and I just, this is really to make a point. This is a Calvaria tree in Madagascar. This is a big tree. This is another type of seed that is, requires a scarification, like a sandpaper, like a breaking down. And it's believed that particular turkey, which is actually a dodo bird, is required to continue to propagate this particular tree. Now, that bird was extinct in like the 1700s. So they're relating why this type of tree is not continuing to propagate. There's no more dodo birds. Sometimes you got to deal with dodo birds. You have to deal with dodo birds in order for you to generate what God's calling you to do. Everybody, if I said, who's the biggest dodo bird in your life? I think we could all come up with one name. Don't discount the dodo bird. He's there or she's there for a reason. She's sandpaper to your seed. She's cracking it. I'm saying she, because I'm not Heather. Another person I'm thinking of. These sandpaper just grind, break you down. Break you down to a point where you will finally break and eventually be passed through the gullet of a dodo bird and be whatever onto a different location where you're allowed to reproduce. Right? You have sometimes, you got to go through the belly of a dodo bird for God to do what he wants you to do. And you're sown there. You're actually sown, and the dodo bird is sown to do that to you. Does that make sense? But we resent the fire a lot of times. We resent that dodo bird. Other seeds, they have to be crushed. Nobody likes that. But ultimately, this is about seeds growing. You have to go through this process. You have to be sown generously. God throws you out there. But seed in and of itself, there's legends of, seed being in, heard Mike say this, and I looked it up a little bit, but the King Tut, they put seed in King Tut's tomb, and they said it was still vital. It wasn't, but the concept and the idea is really cool. Seed can be stored, for sometimes like hundreds of years if it's kept dry, because it's still got that DNA in it to reproduce where it came from. But seeds are meant to grow. Seeds are meant to be sown. That's my fourth point. I've probably got everybody confused in my points, but seeds are meant to be sown. Seeds are meant to grow. That's my fifth point. Thus saying, this is in John 4:37-48. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps. It is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. If you're in a time in the Lord where you're just in a harvesting time, great things are happening in God. I mean, there are always great things happening depending on your perspective. But if you're seeing people come to the Lord, everything you're doing just feels really effective. Like my dad was mentioning, you got to understand, somebody else has been tilling that field. Somebody else has been greasing that equipment and getting up early and plowing that ground. The same way that you are right now. The reality is that a large percentage of the seed you're throwing out, you will never, ever, ever seed grow. You just won't. But if you can get over that, it makes you a lot more generous with your seed. If you evaluate how effective you are at throwing seed, oh, I'm going to throw some over here with John. Oh, that didn't grow in 20 seconds. Okay, I got to go over here. Oh, where's the miracle grow? Let me artificially cause this to come up. If that's how you're going to determine how effective you are in your purpose and calling in God, you're going to be really, really depressed. God blesses us with fast-sprouting stuff every once in a while, I think, to encourage us. But don't judge or criticize yourself or evaluate who God is based on the effectiveness of the seed you're throwing out. That is not your job. Know your role, people. Your job is to throw it out, and then you're done. Just throw it out, and then be done. If God asks you to go back and water it and check on it, do that. But if he doesn't, don't do that. You'll just choke the seed out. You'll hover on it. You'll overwater it. You'll plant it too deep. You'll run over it with your tractor unintentionally. You'll invite it into your barn where it gets too dry and it'll die. You cannot evaluate the seed you're throwing out. Simply throw the seed out. Good growing conditions. That's what you need to have great seeds grow. This is what I want to do. I'd like to build a little greenhouse for every seed I throw out. You know why? Because I can track it. I can see how effective the fertilizer is. I could fire someone that's not doing it right. I could hire someone that could do it better. I could manage it. I could control it. This is how we believe good growing conditions are established. Often it is, but often it isn't. Trying to build a formula or a greenhouse to artificially promote kingdom growth is not the kingdom. His kingdom seed is living and active. It's designed to grow over the entire earth. So ideal conditions, a lot of times, are different from what we think. I think this is like our Orange County field right here. It's not that bad. We have a hose. We have like the ability to water. That's a major, in most areas, that's different. We have the ability to water, but it needs a lot of work. There's some weeds, these kind of things. But I think this is what our field looks like. Relatively few seeds will sprout as soon as they mature. That's a seed that has sprouted. Congratulations, David. David understands this. You may not, but he does. He gets it. Come on, thank you. All right. Relatively few seeds will sprout as soon as they mature. Even under ideal conditions, most seeds remain dormant for what's called a rest period. Who here is in, don't raise your hand, who here is in a rest period or has ever been in a rest period, aka depression? Oh, I'm really being rest, I'm just, nobody calls that a rest period. You think you're not being used. God's not using me. I don't think he has any idea the quality of seed he's got here. I am from good stock. I read my Bible a couple days ago. Where is my Bible? I don't think God has any idea the kind of opportunity he has to sow me into really, really quality places that are safe for me. Rest periods are thought to be necessary for certain chemical changes related to the ripening of food stored in the seed. Seeds, though dormant, are living organisms and need favorable conditions to grow. I know a rest period can be painful. We think we are all ready to grow. Don't we all just think we're so ready to grow? I got a foundation. It's just unbelievable. God's poured a wide foundation with me. I can grow. I am so ready. We all think we're so ready to grow. However, God's favorable conditions are not present yet. He throws seed out oftentimes and there's a rest period. There's an uneasiness. The grass is greener over there. Maybe it's always greener over there. You notice that about yourself? Ask yourself that question. Is it always better somewhere else? You may be in a rest period. It can be painful. But God's favorable conditions, his Holy Spirit has not moved into the situation to cause that seed to grow. It does not mean the seed didn't get there on purpose. It doesn't mean he doesn't have a purpose for that seed. It's just not time. The Holy Spirit, fellowship with believers and the Word, act as our moisture, oxygen, and warmth. It's your field. Are you excited about this field? So we thought that was our field, and we were kind of bummed because, you know, we wanted like a big John Deere and maybe like a country western playing. But that's really closer to our field. And listen, you're the one lined up right outside the picture. Don't think like you're in the, you know, and by you I mean me. We are all in a very filthy kind of place, and only God's grace allows us to be sowers. So, but this is really our field. Maybe in the city. His seed goes everywhere. Everywhere. This doesn't look like an ideal place for something to grow. Who planted that, you think? Who's maintaining that? Kingdom seed grows where it is sown. It grows anywhere. His ideal conditions for his kingdom seed are just the Holy Spirit that caused it to grow. This is in Jerusalem. Fun fact. This is our vision. Man, that would be beautiful. We'd get a really beautiful flower pot. We go down to Lowe's or Home Depot or wherever, get some seeds. Usually we don't even have time for the seeds, to tell you the truth. We just buy the flower. And you know what? Let me just tell you a little inside scoop on those flowers. Those things are so juiced up at those stores, by the time you get a home, you can do nothing but fail. So don't feel bad about that. But we want to go ahead and buy up the flower, not even the flowers that have not yet bloomed. We want the bloom already on the flower when we put it in the pot. That's like our attention span for sowing kingdom seed. I want the flower pack. I don't want to wait a week. They need to be blooming. And you know what? When they die, we'll plant more. That is so frighteningly close to the way I think we think of people, where they become assets. And you know what? You're only an effective Christian if you've got blooming flower pots in your church or in your business or whatever. That's our vision. This is his plan. Way, way different. Way bigger. And, you know, even if I was thinking about this morning when I was getting ready, but there's plants at the bottom of the ocean nobody's ever discovered. You know, at the highest mountaintops that they're still figuring out. I mean, nature is an amazing thing. You know, Acts 2 about fellowship, breaking your bread, and I forget which verse it is, but it talks about being in awe. When we were in Utah, actually, for an urban wedding, I thought it kind of felt like God spoke to me and said, if you ever in a position where you don't feel like you can get in awe of the Lord, You know, you want to see a miracle, or you want to see something that really jolts you into seeing how big he is, get into nature. Go out in the ocean. Just go in the ocean and stand in the waves a little bit. That will freak you out. Go hike a hill and go look at how big it is and how little you had to do with it. And you'll feel a sense of his awe. And I believe God, the Holy Spirit, will work through that. Being outside and seeing what he's done gives you a real good perspective of how small you are. This is his plan. God sows generously. That's more like he sows. With all that being said, the big helicopters throwing seed everywhere, it doesn't mean that he's careless with it. Every single seed has a purpose. The Bible is chock full of stories where God put a call and a purpose on someone's life and the promise was not fulfilled for a long time. God has a definiteness. How would I say definiteness of purpose? God knew you, informed you before the foundations of the earth. While it's quantity, it's all quality. He knows every single seed that's being put out there. He has a definiteness of purpose. He knows our desire. Psalms 37, he will give you the desires of your heart. When you're being sown, seek good counsel. And because of those challenges where we feel like we're not being used, we're in a rest period, seek good counsel. Who are you talking to? When was the last time you asked someone, am I on the right track? Is this where I should be? Are you asking that question even now when you're positive this is where you should be? It's one thing to arrive at a conclusion, right? But don't ever stop asking that question. I don't mean just location. I mean spiritually and everything. Is this where I should be? When was the last time you gave someone the authority to speak into your life and then you actually listened and considered it? Make the purpose and plans known to your good counsel. And then once God's confirmed it, go for it. Have no timeline for being sown. Don't put a timeline on it. Don't judge the process. Press on. Trust God. This is my last one. There's no way I would have prescribed the required preconditions for me to germinate. I would have made it much easier on myself. There's no fire coming like within 100 miles of me. Dodo bird, be gone. I would rebuke that dodo bird. I've tried to rebuke that dodo bird. I don't want to fly anywhere. I'm scared of heights. I can't swim. I don't want to be float down the river to some bizarre place. I just want to be placed in a greenhouse in Newport Beach. That's what I'd like to do. I want to have like a staff that's just caring for me. But that's obviously, that's not what produces anything worth anything. It's the difficulty that produces something. God has sown us that we would grow and scatter seed that he has put in our life. Follow the sower's example. We should be generous with our offering and understand that we serve a good sower. A sower that has scattered us with purpose. Some of us are hard shells. Some of us require freezing and thawing. Some of us require fire to germinate. Some of us require a turkey to swallow us up and pass us into another location. However, we are placed. God is good, and he is good all the time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for being generous with us, for gathering the seed today, Lord, for watering us. Lord, I ask that this word would go out, that this wouldn't be something that would encourage us for today. Lord, I pray that it would breathe life into the places that you've placed us. Lord, I pray that when we talk to strangers, that you remind us in our minds visually of you throwing the seed out, broadcasting the seed, that we wouldn't judge the seed, that we wouldn't measure the seed, Lord, that we would just be faithful to what you've called us to do, to scatter it. In the name we pray, amen.